Thank you. You know, I don't know how many of us would consider ourselves as being superstitious. I guess probably a lot of us would say no if we were asked that question. But at the same time, if we were talking about last winter, say, and maybe say that we hadn't got stuck in the snow once, or maybe talking about this fine festival and saying that we hadn't missed an Augusta festival since it started, one of the first things you might do is reach over and kind of knock on wood. And the reason that we do that is because there are evil spirits that live in the wood. And I think there's one in that microphone. I hope not, sure. That's the good spirit. The evil spirits that live in the wood, and just leave it alone there, Barbara.
I can get
about those evil spirits that live in that wood, not in the microphone. We'll try it one more time here. Zero in and change the mood a bit here. By knocking on it, we're letting them know that we know that they're there. And that makes us a lot less vulnerable to them coming and trying to change our luck or anything. And there's really a lot of folklore about wood and kind of trees in general. Over in parts of Europe, in Germany especially, and in England, there are whole forests that are kind of forbidden. You know, there's an image of the tree that's pretty negative, that shows that it's being very powerful and revengeful and magical. And I'd like to tell you a story that comes from a wood such as that. It's in England, from the county of Warwickshire. Once, there was a wicked king who used to ride about the countryside hunting down young maidens. And once he found them and had his wicked way with them, he'd kill them. Well, all the parents, if they could afford to, they sent their daughters off to safety. But there was one old woman who lived in a small house outside of town on the other side of the wood. Now, she was a grandmother, and she had her granddaughter living with her. But she was too poor to send her away. So what she did was keep her hid in one of the back rooms while she earned their keep by spinning and weaving. Well, now, one day, the old woman fell sick. And on the second day, she was even sicker. And by the third day, she couldn't get out of bed at all, and it was market day. They knew if they didn't take their wares into town to trade them for food, they'd starve. Now, the girl was really upset, and she sat and cried about it, and they talked, and they both cried together. And finally, the old woman said, "You'll have to go." And she gave her some words of advice. She said, "Now, go very quickly and very quietly, and all on your tiptoes." And then she also gave her some words of warning. She said, "Do not go through the wonderful wood, though that was the quickest way." So the young girl started out, and she had her cloth and yarn with her, and she was going very quickly and very quietly and all on her tiptoes. And then she saw the king riding towards her. Now, she didn't scream or try to run and hide. What she did was walk very quietly and very quickly and all on her tiptoes into the wonderful wood. Now, she walked in the wood where the oaken tree stood, and she curtsied, did she, to the oaken tree, and he let her go down to the town, and look, it went with her all up and down from the wood, the wonderful wood. So that was all right, wasn't it? But the cruel king had seen her go into the wood. And that wasn't all right, was it? He rode there after her. Oh, he rode in the wood where the oaken tree stood, and he cursed, did he, at the oaken tree, and he drew his sharp blade for to murder the maid, but a bough it fell quick and broke at his neck in the wood, the wonderful wood. So that was all right, wasn't it? Now, later that day, the king's band of men came riding by. They saw their leader caught there in the woods, and they were bent on revenge. They took out their swords, and they rode into the wood. Oh, they rode in the wood where the oaken tree stood, to cut down the tree, the oaken tree. Then the tree gave a groan, and he summoned his own. For the trees closed about, and they never got out of the wood, the wonderful wood. So that was all right, wasn't it? Thank you, the wonderful wood. Thank you. Thank you. That story comes from a collection by Ruth Tung, and she's over in England. Barbara and I are going over there on this coming Wednesday, and going to be over in England a couple of weeks, and I hope to get to meet her. But she's got a collection of stories, and it's called English Tales from English Counties.
Sam, use your mic. Microphones are like spittoons. They're only good if you hit them, and I rarely do, unless it's just like that. Now, I'd like to tell you about a man down in my community. And for some of you, this is just, you're just going to know about him, because I know just about everybody knew old Dry Fry. Now, old Dry Fry was this old preacher man, but all he ever preached for at revivals was the collections and all the fried chicken he could eat. Dry Fry just loved fried chicken. And he liked to go over to folks' house and mooch off of them and get a dinner whenever he could. Now, once old Dry Fry was at this church and picnic, and he had so much rapid speech, he got to talking so fast that his teeth dropped out of his mouth and right into a mud hole. And everybody wanted to help out old Dry Fry and fish out them teeth, but nobody wanted to put their hand down in that mud and get worms or nothing. So that's when Jenny Johnson got a bright idea, and she went right over to a picnic basket, and she got her a big old piece of fried chicken, tied a string onto it, brought it over to that mud hole, and just dangled it for bait. And sure enough, them old teeth came up out of that mud, latched on to that piece of chicken. Jenny could pull it up then, and she took them teeth off and rinsed them off real good and gave them back to Dry Fry, and he was as good as new. Now, I know that's weird, and once old Dry Fry was just a moaning and a growing and a crying because he said that somebody stole his bicycle, and it made him mad. And this farmer told him, he said, "Well, Dry Fry, why don't you just get up there come a Sunday and preach a mile a minute and take them commandments one by one. And when you get to thy shalt not steal, just look real hard at the congregation, and I'll bet you'll find out who took your bicycle." And old Dry Fry come that Sunday, was a preaching a mile a minute, and he was going through them commandments, thou shalt not, and hear this and that one, and then he got to the one that says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's," and he remembered where he had left his bicycle. Well, later on that evening, Dry Fry was at that farmer's house, and he got to talking about that, and he got real tickled. And he is a-eating fried chicken and a-laughing and a-eating and a-laughing, and he got an old chicken bone caught in his throat, and he just choked and died right there on the spot. Well, that old farmer looked across that table way, and he said, "Law me. Ain't nobody gonna believe old Dry Fry don't know how to put down a piece of chicken. Everybody's just gonna think I done killed him, and I'm gonna get hung for murder. I've got to get shut of him." So in order to get rid of old Dry Fry, that farmer took him out the back way and drug him down the lane till he came to this big old bush. And he just hunkered old Dry Fry over in that bush. And then that farmer went on back home. Well, it wasn't too much later on that evening that two lovers came down the lane holding hands and playing smacky mouth and huggy bear and kissy face. And they came along to one of them and said, "Look, look up ahead there. On the road, it looks like somebody's up there hiding in that bush." And he said, "I bet you that's a highway robber, a line force. We better get him before he gets us." So they reached down, picked him up some big old rocks, started chunking them rocks, and one of them hit old Dry Fry real good, knocked him right out into the road, and they ran up there to see who it was. "Law me, that's old Dry Fry." Everybody knew old Dry Fry. "Well, we've done killed him. We're going to get hung for murder. We got to get shut of him." So they drug old Dry Fry down the road till they came to this farm. And this farmer had up on the hill this big old corn house with a corn crib right there. And they just sort of leaned old Dry Fry up against that corn house. And then they went on home. Now, I am telling you, that farmer got up before the crack of dawn because folks had been stealing his chickens and robbing him from his corn, and he decided he wasn't going to let it happen again. So he was washing up his face and looked out his window way there and saw somebody up at his corn house. So he hollered at them, "You get away from there, I'll shoot." I said, "You get away from her, I'm going to blast you one." Reached over, got his gun, and poof. Now, just as he hit, that old preacher man fell to the ground, and that farmer ran up there to see who it was. "Law me, it's old Dry Fry." Everybody knew old Dry Fry. "Well, I done guilty. I'm going to get hung for murder. I've got to get shut of him." He stuffed him in that corn house because it was the bright of the day coming on, and he thought he ought to wait at least until nightfall. Nighttime came. That farmer drug old Dry Fry down the road till he came to the river there. And at the river, they were going to have a baptizing the next day. That's where he should have been anyway, right, old? So that farmer just put old Dry Fry on this high bank, set him down on a stump, and it was right hard to do because rigor mortis had set in, and he just kind of put his elbows on his knees and put his chin in his hands, made him look right natural. And then that farmer, he went on off home and slept sound. Early the next morning, before anybody else got to the baptizing place, the river there, this feisty little old young'un come up over the hill. Ding, 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 ding. He always liked to be getting places ahead of everybody else because he always liked to be fooling around. So he came over that hill until he saw old Dry Fry. Everybody knew old Dry Fry. "Howdy, Mr. Dry Fry. Howdy, Dry Fry." Now, old Dry Fry, he just sat there. He didn't say nothing. But that young'un, he didn't care how he spoke to folks or nothing, so he just said, "Howdy, Dry Fry." When old Dry Fry didn't speak up or nothing, that young'un, he just up and said, "Look a here, old Dry Fry. If you don't up and tell me howdy, I'm going to kick your elbows out from under you. That's what I'm going to do." "Oh, howdy, Mr. Fry." Little old young'un reared back, took his foot, and blip, that old man went down that riverbank and sunk into that river water. Clean out of sight. "Law me, I done killed the old Dry Fry." There wasn't a thing he could do about it because he heard wagon wheels a-turning, and he looked and he saw folks a-gathering there for the baptizing. So that little young'un, he just got into the crowd with everybody else, and folks stood around that morning, and finally somebody said, "Where's old Dry Fry? He's always first one here. Anybody seen old Dry Fry?" And one farmer said, "Yeah, he had been to his house for dinner a few nights ago, but he left soon after, and he hadn't seen him since." Somebody else said that they didn't believe they had seen old Dry Fry since last meeting. And every now and then, that little boy would let out a giggle. And folks would look over and say, "What you so tickled at?" But he'd never tell. And so finally, when old Dry Fry didn't show up, folks just sung a few hymns and they passed around the hat for a big old collection and meeting broke and everybody went home, including that little boy. But he came back when it was good and dark and he had with him a poke, you know, one of these old burlap bags and a long pole with a hook on it. And he just fished around in that river water till he hooked out old Dry Fry, stuffed him in that bag, got his shoulder upright and took that bag on top of it and went on down the road. He was going to hide Dry Fry real proper. And now that little boy was bumping and dumping on down the road, and just so happened that coming this way was two rogues. And these two thieves had been out each stealing them a big old hog from a farmer. And they had them hogs and sacks on their back. And they look up and they see somebody coming. So them two crooks, they just drop them sacks so they have nothing to weigh them down. And they run deep into that woods. Now they can't see nobody and they hope nobody can see them. And that little boy, he's just coming down the road, bumping and dumping old Dry Fry. And came along till he saw those two sacks. So he just sat down old Dry Fry and he opened up. Saw it was a big old hog. So he just traded Dry Fry for the hog. Got it up on his shoulder there and he went on home. Well, them two crooks come out of that woods when they think that everything's clear and they're kicking and a-cussing at one another because they thought they'd lost their stealing. But they come out to the road there and they see them two bags. So they get them up on their backs and they head on home. And when they got to the meat house, they just hung up them sacks on the meat hooks and they went on inside. Early the next morning, before the crack of dawn, the wife of one of them rogues got her butcher knife and she went heading out to the smokehouse to get herself some meat for breakfast. She looked up and saw them two sacks hanging there and she put a big old rip in one of them and out hung old Dry Fry. Law me, it's old Dry Fry. Everybody knew old Dry Fry. She went screaming out of that smokehouse and when she got to her own kitchen door, she just ripped it right off the hinges. She was sort of scared. Well, them two crooks, they run out there to see what all that commotion is, and the first one to get there said, "Law me, it's old Dry Fry. Everybody knew old Dry Fry." Why, that farmer, he was so scared, he said, "With all our trouble with the law, folks are just going to think we done killed him. Nobody's going to believe any different. We've got to get shut of him." So they drug old Dry Fry out behind the barn, and them two men went out into the wilderness and found them the worst rootin'est, snootin'est, roarin'est, snortin'est, steam coming out of its eyes, its ears, its nose, its throat, teeth at the same time, horse. And they drug that wild critter into the corral. They went into a barn and found him a no-count saddle and a piece of an old bridle, and they drug Dry Fry out, strapped his legs to the belly band, tied his hands to the saddle horn, and put a big old hat on top of his head. Then two men, they stood out there behind that horse and gave it a pop you could hear all the way down the town. And that horse went tearing out of that corral with that old preacher man a-bouncing first one side and then the other. And them two men out behind it a-shouting, "Horse thief! Horse thief! Somebody stop him! That man done stole our horse!" And when folks heard this, they got out their guns and shooting and chunking rocks. And that old horse went tearing up toward them mountains with that old preacher man bouncing first one side and then the other. And to this very day, folks will be out in the mountains around Elkins, West Virginia, and they'll see something go by. And they'll be out there, you know, just having a picnic in the summer, or in the winter they'll be snow skiing or doing whatever you do to keep warm. And they'll just see it go by. And you can hear what folks are saying. "Law me, don't that look like old Dry Fry?" 'Cause everybody knew old Dry Fry. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
grandfather tells.
That story has been collected and put into a book called The Grandfather Tales by Richard Chase. He collected them.
Not all of them.
Yeah, there are a few tidbits here and there that
are...
we'd like to give just kind of a quickie announcement and commercial here. You know, Barbara and I have been doing this kind of freelance for and full-time for 3 years. And we started out kind of with the idea of preserving traditions and things like that and keeping them from dying and to help keep ourselves in the same way. We have put together a booklet, and if any of y'all would like a copy of this, we've got it out in the front there. It's $2.50, and it's a listing of stories that we recommend for telling along with ideas on how to tell them and ways to introduce them and things like that. And it's geared for people that are working with kindergarten through probably through sixth grade, with emphasis on kindergarten through third. And we're also going to be doing a workshop tomorrow, I believe it's at 1:30, on some techniques of storytelling. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, we'll finish up on one quick one here. Okay. And we'll try the microphone again there. You know, since we've been traveling and doing this, we're a lot of times around music people and stuff. And Barbara and I both love to try to sing, but we don't really sing.
Give me a minute.
Yeah, take your time. Shall I tell a story in between? How long do I want
to go? Oh, thank you. I'm a little bit higher.
You
know, this is nice, but Mike brought this mic out here, and people behind the scenes are really to be recognized. For example, the woman who's been running around all night long getting keys to unlock the bathroom so the cloggers could get out here and helping out is Sue McRae, and there's all kinds of people back there that are doing a wonderful job to make this festival be as neat as it is. And you know what's so special about it is we have a whole another night tomorrow night.
Yeah. You know, Barbara and I were both here at Augusta last year and took a folklore class, and we're here for the festival and all. And I think Elkins really has a special thing going with the Augusta Heritage. I think y'all are lucky, and we're all lucky that it's happening here. This, as I was mentioning before, this next thing we're going to do for you is kind of a singing thing, and we like to preface it with that we are not singers, but we wanted to share
They'll
it with you
They'll
know
that anyway. Soon enough.
Yeah, right. This is we thought we should give you at least one classic, and this is a jazzed-up version of the Three Bears. Are you ready?
Once upon a time in a nursery rhyme, there were three bears, three bears, They all went a-walking in the green woods a-talking. Long come a little girl with long, shiny golden hair. Her name was Goldilocks, her name was Goldilocks. Upon the door she knocked,
but no one was there.
No,
no one was there. She walked right in, had herself a ball, eating and a-rocking and a-sleeping and all.
She didn't care. No one was there. She didn't care.
Home came the three bears, tired from the woods, ready to sit down to some home-cooked goods. Yeah.
Someone's been eating my porridge,
said the papa bear, said the mama bear.
Hey, mama sheep bear,
said the little wee bear,
someone has broken my chair.
Well, they went upstairs to see what they could find, saw Goldilocks in bed asleep all the time. She woke up, broke up the party, and boogied on out of there. Bye, said the papa bear. Bye, said the mama bear.
Hey, mama she bear,
said the little wee bear.
What kind of bear was that bear, huh?
And that is the story of the three bears. I said the three bears. I said the three. I said the three. I said the three bears.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Oh, welcome to a friendly gathering of the old friends, the Lilly Brothers, and the whole gang. Mighty happy to be here with you tonight. Thanks to Paul Ramsey for putting us on out here. Mighty fine boys, doing a good job with your folks, baby. Thank you so much. Howdy, friends and neighbors. We're mighty happy to be here with you. We got a few songs and tunes here we'd kindly like to pick and sing for you. We hope you'll enjoy them as much as we love to pick and sing them for you. We'd like to take just a moment here to kindly introduce the boys one by one to you so you'll know who's picking and singing for you. Not you, George. Oh, why not start with him? Most of you people up here, I think, have heard of George or knows that George is a boy from Hinton, West Virginia. Good boy and a good banjo picker. How did you get in here anyway? On your friend's ticket? Where's he at? Outside hunting for the ticket, I guess.
Yeah, I think he went to...
Okay, that's okay. What do you say? Let's make George welcome here tonight. Folks, he wants to know if his hair looks okay. I think it does. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to let George go, and I want to get over to this next guy here. I tell you, see them ears? Looks like a taxi cab coming with both doors thrown open. Hey, with that hat on, don't he remind you of a lightning bug under a cabbage leaf? Well, I'm telling you. I tell you, let's make him welcome here tonight. That's one half of the Lilly Brothers, my brother B. I tell you, here's one guy that there isn't no use to say anything about, because I know you know him here. Let's make Ralph welcome here tonight. He's doing a good job of helping us out. I tell you, we need him. That guy can play a bass and just about anything else he picks up, I believe. Well, now it comes time for the lady killer of the outfit.
Oh, God.
My God. Yeah. What he don't kill, he cripples him up. Now, take it easy, Mark. It'll be over in a minute. That's my son, Mark, the country singer and outfit. Let's make him welcome. He's a good boy.
And by now, I'm sure you're all aware of the fellow who played the... was part of the original Foggy Mountain Boys, Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, and very much a part of the Lilly Brothers, Everett Lilly.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. We're going to get right into the program here. We'd like to remind you about the applause. We do appreciate your applause. It is always welcome. We often say giving us applause is like giving love to an old maid. You can't hardly overdo the thing. No kidding. We do like the applause because it helps us on the stage a lot. We're going to start off here, B. Lilly and myself here. A little tune we'd like to do for you here in the gear of about Biggie there, boys, entitled Open Up Them Pearly Gates for Me.